Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Together, once again, in your name to worship you. Father, we thank you now for what you see, for what you've done, what you said. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that sustains and strengthens us. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cures, that cleanses, covers, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all the things that you've blessed us with in the earth. Father, I pray that you bless your people. And I thank you for it. I thank you for clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer on this morning. And the hearts of the hearers are the tablets today that I shall write upon by the influence of the Holy Spirit. The word of faith, the word of God that will bring healing, deliverance, peace, power, and prosperity to all that hear and believe. We thank you, God. Father, after you've healed and delivered, after you've done what you want to do, you've given us our breakthrough. Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, give you the praise. And we will join with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy. You're holy, God. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You have Joshua, the 24th chapter. You're looking at the 14th verse. I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. It's a good message. Amen. I want to use for a thought a challenge to worship. A challenge to worship. And Joshua said in verse 9, he said, you cannot serve the Lord. Joshua, first off, he tells him, your dedication that you have now is not going to be good enough. But you got to really dedicate. You got to put away those gods. Amen. And the people, after Joshua tells them this, they made a declaration that we're going to live for God. We're going to do the things that we are supposed to do. But then Joshua tells them there's some stipulations here. There's some preparation that you must make if you're going to be a worshiper of God. Joshua said, you can't serve God, for he's holy, and he is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgression nor your sin. Now, when he said that, he was letting them know that it's not going to be easy just to say, oh, yeah, we'll serve God and make a declaration. But you got to get some preparation in your life, and there's some stipulations to worshiping God. Amen. He's letting them know that you got to put away some stuff, and you got to not just put away, but you got to keep from falling away. Amen. He says what you got to understand, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Look at what he said. He said that God, he's holy and he's jealous. In other words, he's not going to be second to nobody. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve after strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he had done good to you. You know how some people that think, well, God, he just loved me and I've been, you know, he's blessed me so much that I know he ain't going to do anything to change this. I think it's going to be all right because I can do what I want to do because God's blessing me. And the church has given the wrong message because we have made people think because things are going good in your life that you're being accepted by God because things, you've been blessed. You got the house you want, the car you want, the wife and two kids you want. Come on and say, man, we got everything we want. And so therefore we think that means that God must approve of us. That's not always true because I know atheists that got those things. Come on and say amen. What it means is that you got some things working in your favor, but you need to realize that it's God who will bless you even more. You can't have the peace of God if you don't make peace with God. That's why so many people who have money and all the things that you would ever think of that you would want, that's why they kill themselves. They take pills. They die. Amen. Because they don't have the peace of God. And let me tell you, you need to search for and seek after the God of peace so that you can have the peace of God. Amen. He says in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he's going to do that. He's going to turn around and he's going to do something to get your attention. That's all Joshua was saying. He wasn't saying that God is just going to just destroy you and punish you, but he's letting you know that you got to prepare yourself to be a worshiper. You got to put those things away. There's some things we got to put out of our heart. There's some things we got to put out of our mind. There's some things we got to put out of our life. Matter of fact, there's some people we may have to put out of our life until we get some things together with God. And then once we get strengthened and strong enough, the Bible tells us that he told Peter, when you're converted, go strengthen your brother. See, the problem is we're trying to strengthen them and we ain't strong ourselves. And we're trying to bear a burden, amen, that we can't really bear because we don't know who to give the burden to. Amen. And so he's saying that we need to go and strengthen our brother after there's a conversion. After something changes in your life, then you can help make a change in their life. Do I have any witnesses here? I need to be able to see a change in me. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, I need to look and see that some things in my life, all things have become what? New. I have a new way of talking, a new way of walking, a new way of thinking, a new way of listening. I always have to talk, but I listen for the Lord to speak. The Bible said, be slow to speak and swift to hear. Y'all got two ears, one mouth, so I need to listen more than I talk. I wish I had somebody here. And when you are a worshiper, you do those things. But when you don't really know how to worship, you're telling God everything he need to do. Do you know God already knows what to do? He knows what you're going to pray before you speak. He knows what's going to come out of your mouth. He knows what's in your heart. Amen. And so we need to start. We need to learn that. We need to know that God is always in control. He knows what's going on. He's not surprised by any event in your life. Some things he allow in your life so he can come and deliver you. So that you'll get your attention back on him. So that you'll continue to worship him. So that you'll go back to worshiping him. Amen. Amen. We got to get some things out of our life. We got to put away those gods. We got people set up in our heart. Amen. And they have become gods in our heart. God wants your whole heart. He don't want a third of it. We give God two-thirds, but the other third is full of hatred and bitterness. Come on and say amen. We give God two-thirds, but the other third is full of what we like to keep hold of. Lord, I serve you on this side, but I just don't want to let go of all of this. Amen. Come on and say amen here. And so he says in verse number 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve or to worship the Lord. And so when they said that, they were saying that they had made a decision. Amen. They had made a decision, and their decision was, we got confirmation here that we're going to serve God. And Joshua said unto the people, you're witnesses against yourself. That you've chosen the Lord and will serve him. And they said, yeah, we'll be witnesses. Joshua says this. He said, the confirmation is you're gonna witness this. And yeah, we witness it. We'll say that we're going to serve God. And yeah, we said it and we're going to do it. Amen. And you know how it is. We get bold enough to say, yeah, we said it and we're going to do it. Amen. He said in verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange God. Now, the one thing about Joshua here is that he said it several times in this chapter to put away. He also says, serve the Lord 13 times. Amen? And so when we look at that, he was letting us know that in order for us to worship and to serve God, there has to be a putting away. What's in your life that you need to put away? And I pause so you think about it. What do you need to put away? What are the things that's hindering your worship? Amen? What's there keeping you from worshiping God to the best of your ability? What's keeping you from worshiping in sincerity and in truth? What's holding you back? If there's something holding you back, I don't care how much you like it. I don't care how much you love it. You need to make a decision. Make a decision. All right, let's go on a little further. He says, I know I'm long, but I'm going to get to a point. The people said, the people said in verse 24, they said, "Josh, unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." Now they're saying, not only will we worship him, but we're going to do everything he say do. Boy, they should, oof. I don't know anybody that does everything that he says do. Thank God for Jesus. That when I don't do everything, all right, he says, now Joshua in verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute. In other words, he wrote it in the law, in an ordinance. He made a law, an ordinance, and he said, this is what they said, and this is what they're supposed to do. And then so when you make a law and an ordinance, if you become a breaker of the law or a transgressor of the law, then there's a punishment for your transgression. So Joshua said, okay, you said it now, I'm going to write it. Now, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone, this part I love, and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua took a great stone, and I'm almost done. He wrote the words in the law, and he set a great stone under the oak next to the sanctuary of the Lord. He set it next to the place of worship. He took this stone and set it under the tree next to the sanctuary. Now, many of the churches, the African-American churches, they were started under. And then Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my. Joshua set a great stone. Now, when you look at the word stone, it means to build. It means a great weight. It means a plummet. It means something heavy. He set something there that could not be moved. And he set it under the oak. And I want you to think about this. The stone, he said in verse 27, and Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a what? Witness unto us, for it had heard. Now, I don't know about rocks a whole lot, but I know rocks don't have ears. But when you read this in the way you're supposed to interpret it, this rock or this stone is Christ. They drank from a spiritual rock in Exodus. Come on and say amen. And then he takes this rock and he puts it under a tree. Now, the thing about that I love about this is that it was the rock and the tree that came back as a witness. It was the rock and the tree. Can I get somebody to go? It was the rock and the tree. Jesus, my Jesus is a rock. The rock of ages. Jesus is the rock. The stone that the builders rejected had become the chief corner. He's the rock, but the tree. Amen. It was under the tree and at the tree where Adam and Eve made the mistake of eating of the fruit. It was under the tree that they made the mistake of idol worship. I wish I had somebody. Because they was there, and the snake said, look, if you eat this fruit, then you'll become as God. In other words, you'll become one to be worshipped. Oh, Lord, help me today. But then now we find that under the tree, under this big oak, come on and say amen. This tree is the word Allah, which means a high tree, a high place. And they set it there so it would be a witness, because he said, this tree has heard what you said, the words that were said, and this tree will be a witness. And so when Jesus came, his job was to be a witness to us, to let us know that God heard all the things that we said we would do, and also to let us know what we ought to do. He was the witness. The Bible says he is the word of God, and the only reason why you need a witness is because you want to hear the word. what the witness has to say. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yes. All I want to say is I seen it, I heard it, and I know it. You want eyewitnesses. You want people that heard it to prove that it's true. And so Joshua saying that the witness, the tree, come on, say amen, the one who hangeth on the tree, Jesus, the rock that was with the tree, they came together and they became a witness to you that God had heard, and now God has washed away your sin. I wish I had somebody. He said he heard the words of the Lord which you spake, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. He said, now if you decide that you want to deny God, you got to go back and look at this tree. You got to look at all that you deny. You got to go back and look at the rock and the tree. Come on and say amen. It was at the tree they lost this thing. Amen. At the tree, Adam and Eve fell. At the tree, humanity fell. But it was at the tree. It was the rock and the tree. I wish I had somebody. It's something. I got something concrete I can stand on. Amen. I can stand on the rock that's higher than I. Oh, yeah. When Moses, the Bible says that God told Moses, he said that you can't see my face, but I've got a place beside me in the cleft of the rock. Jesus is the rock. The Bible said that we are lively stones. We are just a chip off the old block. I wish I had somebody. I'm a chip off the old block because he is the true rock. Amen. And so the rock and the tree coming together is a witness to us that God knows that we lied when they said it in the wilderness, that we were going to keep his word and we wasn't going to serve other gods. And so he said, because you did that, I'm sending somebody that'll take care of all your trouble. I'm sending a witness that's going to die. Oh, come on and say amen. Somebody who's going to die for all of your sin, for you not being able to obey everything that I said do, because you said you would. I wish I had somebody. And he said, I'm sending him so that when he die, he'll wipe away and wash away all your sin. And so here it was, the rock that was hanging on a tree. I wish I had somebody. And then you had the church that had gathered underneath the tree when John was standing there, and Mary and all the others that believed in Jesus. He said, John, he said, here, he said, son, he said, there's your mother. Mother, there's your son. Then they pierced him in the side. Water and blood came streaming down, and we had a crimson flow of blood from him that caused us to be washed in it and caused our sins to be washed away, so that we would now have the opportunity to worship God. Because before that, we couldn't go into the presence of God to worship. Before that, we still had to offer animal sacrifices. Before that, we had a temporary fix. Before that, we had where he would just give us mercy. In other words, your transgression stayed, but he held back judgment for another year so that you can keep on going. But sooner or later, mercy was going to move back and let judgment take place. But then when Jesus came, we found out that we had grace and mercy. We found out that we had something more to worship God for, because he is so good and so kind that he sent Jesus to die for our sin. And when he died, he didn't stay dead, but he rose up on the third day morning, and he said, I have all power given unto me. And so when I look at what happened here, when I look at how God saw it, amen, how God put it together, I say, wow, that's so wonderful that God would put Jesus in chapter 24 of Joshua, whose name means God is salvation, and then Jesus, whose name really is Yeshua, which means God is salvation. And he put it there in the 27th verse to let us know that no matter what we said, then God's not going to hold it against us, because we got a witness. Come on and say amen. That whenever Satan comes up, he say he put him there as a what? Witness. Whenever Satan comes up and say, you know, last night Eric, no, he lied. Eric didn't do what he was supposed to do. God, you know, he did this. The Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But then I got a witness who's also a lawyer, who said, that's all right. I'm a witness here. I saw him. I was with him all night last night. Everything that he said he did, no, he didn't do it. I did it. Oh, I wish I had somebody here that realized that's what Jesus does for us. He said, yeah. The devil said, yeah, he did it. Jesus said, no, I did it. And I paid the price already. You can't try me again for that, because there's no double jeopardy. Oh, come on and say amen. You can't bring me up again on the charges, because I've already paid the price. I've already paid the penalty of sin. I died on the cross. So what you say he did has already been taken away. Do I have any witnesses here? He said that I'm putting a witness with you. And so now, since he put a witness with us, we ought to become a witness. And so when I'm in him and he's in me, that means I become part of the rock. That's why he said you are a lively stone. Oh, come on and say amen. And so since I become part of the rock, and since I'm part of the church, and since I'm part of Christ, come on and say amen. And since I'm in Christ, then I become a witness also. I stand in the gap also. I need to let sinners know that the wages of sin is death, but I need to also let them know that the gift of God is eternal life. I need to let them know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I need to let them know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. I need to let the world know. Oh, come on and say amen. I need to let the people know that great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the world, they're going to try you. In the world, they're going to persecute you. They're going to lie on you. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. I've already overcome the world. So I'm so glad I got a witness. Oh, yes, indeed. I got a witness here that said, no matter what comes my way, he said, offenses are going to come. They're going to come in the world. But don't worry about that. I prayed for you. He said, don't worry about that. He said, they're going to try to take your peace, but I'll give you my peace. Not as the world give it, but I'll give you this kind of peace that won't go nowhere. It's the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. You may not understand, how is it that I can keep going when they do all those things to me? Look like every time I turn around, the devil's on every hand. I turn this way, he's lying on me. I turn that way, he's stealing from me. I look at him, he's trying to destroy me. But when I say I look and I turn around, look like the devil's everywhere. But then I go back and I say, my witness said that every time I turn around, the Lord keeps making a way for me. Even though he tried to hurt me, the Lord makes a way. I feel like Job in here. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do I have any witnesses that the Lord is good? Oh, come on and say amen. I'm reminded of Job again. He said that whenever he went through his trials, he had balls on his body, lost everything he had. But the Bible said he bowed to the earth and he worshiped the Lord. And he didn't sin with his mouth, but he stayed with God. And he didn't look at anything else. But he said, I'm looking at God. He's the only one that can fix this. I'm looking at God. He's the only one can change this. He's the only one can work it out. Do I have any witnesses? Jesus came to be a witness to let you know that God got you on his mind, that God loves you, that God is blessing you, that God has so much in store for you. And the Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of any man, but it's that the things that God has in store for us that love him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit. Now, when I talk about his Spirit, I'm reminded of what he says in Joel. He said that in the last day, I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men see visions. What was Joel saying? He was letting us know. He said, I'm going to do it on my servants, the people that worship me. I'm going to pour my Spirit out. If you can lift up a hand, if you can worship the Lord, if you can keep giving him praise with the fruit of your lips and worship the Lord, if you can continue worshiping him, he said he'll pour out his Spirit. Now, when I get his Spirit, what does that do for me? He told the disciples, he said, go back to Jerusalem until you be endued with power. So when I get the Spirit of God, it gives me power. Power to overcome the enemy, power to leap over a wall, power to run through a troop, power to be able to believe that God God will say yes. I know he's all right. I got power. I'm not your mediocre person. When you're facing me, when you're looking at me, it may look ordinary, but I'm above ordinary because of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he had anointed me. See, you are the anointed of God. If you are a Christian, the word Christian, it means the anointed ones. You are the anointed of God. The Bible says in his word, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Oh, come on and say amen. So whatever the devil brings your way, you need to remind yourself. You need to remember I'm endued with power. Oh, yet though he comes against me, I still have power. Do I have any witnesses that say I got power because I worship God? I got power because I know how to praise him. Do anybody here have power? I say I got power. So no weapon formed against me shall prosper because I got power. Oh, come on and see this. You see, when I worship God, it's something about worship. The Bible says that Isaiah walked in the court and he told King Hezekiah, he said, you're going to die today. He walked out of the court. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. I believe he went into worship, because when you pray, that consists of worshiping. Do I have any witnesses? When he turned his face to the wall and began to worship, before Isaiah got out the yard, he said, make a U-turn and go back and tell Hezekiah I gave him 15 more years. Do I have a witness? Come on and say yes. He gave him 15 more years, all because he worshiped God. I don't know about you, but I believe in worshiping. And when you worship God, things begin to change. Come here, Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat, that when the enemy came around him, that he was so afraid, but they went on a fast and they called up the praisers. Do I have any praisers? He called up the praisers and he said, I want you to go in front. Now, I'm going in front. I don't have any weapons. I'm going in front. I don't have a sword or a spear. I don't have a shield. I don't even have a bow and arrow, but I'm going up front. Do I have any witnesses? You see, when you're a praiser and you're a worshiper, God put you on the front line, not for you to look cute. He put you on the front line, not for you to look like, oh, Miss Prissy, but he put you on the front line so you can get ugly, so you can worship God. Come on and say yes here. Now, the word Hallel, it's the word Hallel. It means to look foolishly in the congregation. In other words, when David danced out of his clothes, he was Hallel in God. And so when you say hallelujah, we get you to say hallelujah. But what it really means, it means to jump and spin wildly. It means I'm not afraid. Oh, praise his name. And so when they jumped out there and they began to dance and sing to the Lord vigorously, the enemy didn't know what hit them. God said, I got to stop this. He said, I don't need to do anything else except stop them from attacking so they can keep worshiping. So all I'm saying to you today, and if you serve God and you worship him, when the enemy attack you, that's a cause for worship. That's a cause to lift hands. That's a cause to lift your voice. That's a cause